Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
This is Happiness Solved with America's happiness coach, Sandy Scarlatta.
Everyone, and welcome to today's episode. I am so happy you're here. Happiness Solved is dedicated to giving you content that is empowering, motivational, inspirational, and of course, a dose of happiness. It is my way to give back to the world and share other people's stories. This thing called life can be challenging, and my guests share their amazing stories, wisdom, and life lessons that demonstrate anyone can choose happiness. You see, happiness is a journey, not a destination. I'm Sandy Scarlatta, America's happiness coach, author of Happiness Solved. I'm a retired U.S. national and international figure skating coach, a gold medalist in ice dancing. I've been a certified life coach since 2004, and I have been inspiring others to shift their mindset and choose happiness for over 20 years. As we approach the holiday season, please make sure you take the time to take care of the most important person in your life, you. If you find yourself feeling negative, stressed, overwhelmed, or any other negative emotion, stop and take some really deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. Then I want you to think about everything you have to be grateful for. You can use this exercise to start your day and to reset your day at any moment. Thank you so much for listening, and I am so grateful for you. Hello, Riley Meek. How are you today? So great to see you.
Hey, Sandy. Yeah, I'm doing great. Great to see you.
What a great smile. Like your face just lights up. Like I can feel your positivity.
I've been told I've had a face for radio, so.
A face for radio. What's that, the younger folks say,
right?
All right, so we're going to get into everything that you're doing. It sounds like you're just doing so many amazing things, and I want to talk about your books, and you have a three-book series coming out, I understand, sometime soon. But before that, I love hearing people's stories, and we all have a story of how we got to where we are today. And for you, what was that pivotal moment in your life where you were like, I need to inspire people, I need to spread this message that I have inside of me?
Yeah. It's actually been about 3 years ago is all now. It had been fall of 2019, and it was sitting, you know, not in, in just the other room in the house that I'm in now. My wife and I, we had just moved. We live on a beautiful lake home here in Minnesota. And from the outside looking in, you would think, I mean, I heard this a lot. It's like, it must be nice. And little did any of those people know, I just had this overwhelming feeling of just complete unfulfillment in my life. And, you know, I was only 34 at the time, so I'm still, you know, pretty young, but I've just, if anybody that's had that feeling or even is currently feeling that way right now, you just know like, man, there's gotta be something more. And financially we had done very well over the last, you know, 15 years or so. We've done nine figures in revenue within our all of our different companies that we've started. And for me, it was just this time where it's just like, God, is this really what I was created for? Is just to like go run businesses and start companies. And there's nothing against that by any means, but this was really when I had that aha moment that I realized that you could be incredibly successful at a lot of things and still feel like a failure if you're not operating for the God-given intended purpose of why you were created. And I use the analogy, like I have a home gym here. I have a treadmill in my home gym that is incredibly successful at hanging my clothes, right? It's extremely successful at doing that. But the manufacturer's got to be shaking their head like, no, that's not what I created that for. So from the manufacturer standpoint, I would argue that that product is failing, right? It's not operating for that God-given intended purpose of why the manufacturer created it. And that's exactly how I felt. And I realized while I was seeking success and mostly monetarily and different things that I could build, because, you know, from a financial standpoint, that's an easy thing to track. But it was really like that thrill of the hunt for me. Even, I mean, as an entrepreneur, it's just like, that's kind of what gets us going. It's just like the idea that I can build something or take something from A to Z. And that's what I love to do. But just knowing that my fulfillment wasn't really coming from the doing of it. And that's when I thought back to some of the most impactful times in my life, Sandy, were at a, you know, at the age of like 18 and 19, I had just such an incredible group of guys that, you know, of community, of tribe that I just, we did life together. I mean, we witnessed out to the poor. We went and fed people on the streets. We just did incredible things together. And I just thought, man, I didn't have really any friends in my life at that time. For, a lot of acquaintances, right? But not anybody that I felt like I had that true bond with like I did back then. And you know, just knowing the space that I'm in now, I just kind of scanned the horizon and was like, is there a group of people out there like this? And I didn't see it. And I've been a part of a lot of different masterminds and business groups, which are all great. Yeah. Right. But there wasn't like a focal point or a foundation that I felt was really rooted in truth and able to give back and serve. And so that was just kind of the early stages of us starting one of our companies now. But it's really my primary focus of what I just love to do, which is the King's Council. And that's our coaching company for entrepreneurs. We're a faith-based coaching organization on, you know, we coach business. And really, I think give entrepreneurs, you know, Christian entrepreneurs, the freedom to operate in their gifting and not feel like it's, you know, bad or not feel guilty that they have an incredible gift to go crush business and create wealth. And it's actually needed to fulfill some of these God-given purposes and visions that are laid on our hearts. Because the number one killer of every vision, Sandy, is lack of provision. And that's where the King's Council really has comes into play and gives people that I don't even know, maybe permission is the word, to go actually truly walk in that provision to ultimately fulfill that vision that people have for their lives.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And what a great name, the King's Council. I love that. Yeah. I love it. So I kind of like when you were talking about that, and I agree with everything that you said, how much is an entrepreneur's mindset when it comes to fulfilling their purpose? I mean,
I believe it's everything. It's
everything, right?
Yes, because most of us are, you know, whether it's good or bad, we are the products of our environments. And usually the product of the environment that we grew up in, you know, unsolicitedly, like we think the way we think. We act the way we act usually because of what we grew up with. And until, or maybe unless you've actually audited your own thoughts, you've just accepted it and you've lived that way up until this point in your life. And at an early age, when I was 15, that's when I actually first started to have an understanding that I could think about the things that I think about and question healthily, like question, Why do I think that way about this? And really, it just came down to, I realized that there were certain things that I just had stirring inside of me that I wanted, right? And from a young age, it was, for the most part, it was about, I wanted to go make a ton of money because I wanted to do what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, where I wanted to do it, with who I wanted to do it. And I knew money was going to afford me some of those abilities to be able to do so. And so what I did is I just looked for the fruit in other people's lives that I wanted. And I just started to go be around them. And I learned a lot through that process. But the biggest thing that I learned was it opened up my eyes to really an understanding of why do those people think differently than what I grew up with. And I grew up in a small community in South Dakota, where it's like, you just, you go to school and you either become a farmer or you maybe go to college, and but you don't necessarily move out of your community or anything beyond that. It's just like, that's just your lot in life. Right. And when I started to question that and choose to do different things, I think that's the biggest thing. I mean, a lot of us live a life by default, and I chose to start to design my life, and I wanted to live a life by design versus default. And it all started with the realization of the thoughts that I had in my life, and then ultimately realizing that I could choose actually the way I think. Like our perception is our reality.
Exactly.
and that's, you know, your perception is yours, mine is mine, but it's real to us. But the cool thing is that we can change it the moment that we choose to change it. And the power that has in our lives is just absolutely incredible. Especially as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right. Cause there's a lot of negativity that you could focus on, but I started to really choose to look for, you know, when it comes to opportunities, I like to look for the opportunity and the risk, where risk averse people are going to look for the risk in the opportunities. They're similar things. Basically, they're the same thing, but it's how we're looking at them, the perspective that we have, that's going to allow us to make the next decision in our lives. Mm.
I just did a talk on that on stage. Change your perception, change your life. Like, that's like my game. We have a lot of similarities. And it was interesting because I was looking through your website, and I have a book coming out probably, it'll be next year sometime. And I saw the title of it in your coaching paragraph. I was like, oh my gosh.
Awesome.
And it's called The Champion's Mind, A Champion Mindset.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
But no, I'm a retired U.S. national and international figure skating coach. And so I do work with a lot of athletes. I coach amateur athletes and as like a sports psychology coach, if you will. But I looked at that, I was like, wow, like we are like on the same wavelength here. That's so cool.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
So let's talk about your books.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got here. I know I was just pulling, getting the page up on your website. So
sure.
Food for Thought is a great, great title. Talk about that. Let's start with that one.
Yeah. So that was the first book that I had written was Food for Thought, which is kind of an interesting title because like people might not know what it is. And that's actually why I chose it. The tagline is extremely long, and that's Food for Thought, How to Use Dinner Seminars in Ways You Never Thought Possible, right? And ways to grow your business in ways you never thought possible. And that's really just a background on myself. I'd done a number of different things from a sales and entrepreneurship standpoint up until the age of like 24, 25-ish. And that's when I was opened or introduced to this concept of selling one to many. Mm-hmm. And it rocked my world. I was like, because everything that I had done prior to that was selling one-on-one. And it can be emotionally, you know, draining.
Yes.
When you're trying to take somebody from A to Z and then ask for the sale. And it's like, okay. And as much as I loved the idea that I love to work with people, but I was kind of pitched this concept that you earn what you're worth and your earning ability is uncapped. And I never really bought into it based upon the amount of time in a day. And
that's right.
And when I saw this concept of how to leverage marketing dollars, but then also your time, it was like inventing fire for the first time for me. And I was like, I was hooked, Sandy. And I thought, holy cats. If I sat in on a guy's presentation, he had like 24 people in a room. He delivered a mediocre discussion. And at the end of it, he just asked for an appointment for people to meet with him the next day. And then that's when he made the sale. I was like, holy cow. He got 7 appointments. I thought, if this guy can do this, I'm going to get rich. and that was really like, I took those concepts and started to put them into practice. Mind you, I had $673 in my bank account at this time. So I wasn't coming from a place of abundance, but my mindset was there. Like I knew I saw something and I thought I could do that. And then it was just a matter of investing my time, energy, and effort. I had to invest some marketing dollars. And I started to understand this process of why people make decisions, how they make decisions, and really this concept or understanding a social dynamic that takes place. in any given situation, right? And how to use it for whether it's a one-on-one situation or in a group, there's a social dynamic that's taking place there, and how to actually use that in your favor to create an environment in which people just want to make a decision. And that's what I became pretty good at. And that's how we've done the nine figures in sales and all sorts of different industries from, you know, home remodeling, solar, insurance, medical, financial. I mean, all over the board, we've done this. And that's when I realized, you know, rather than me just creating another business, could I teach this process to somebody? And that was the start of the Social Dynamic Selling System. And really when I wrote this book as a way for people to understand the power of leveraging using dinner seminars to present your products and services to a group of people. And that was my first book that ultimately then led into Intentional Influence, which is more along the sales side of it. So Food for Thought was like, okay, how do I fill a room and then speak to a group of people? But then we went next level with intentionally influencing people in a decision-making process. And I want to be clear on this, not manipulation. Nothing along those lines, but creating an environment where people want to make a decision. Because at the end of the day, most people, I'm sure you know this, Andy, like most people procrastinate. That's just, we are in nature. That's just what we tend to do. And at the end of the day, my true servant heart is I want to help people make the best decision for themselves, knowing that it might not be my product or service, but at least I helped them make that decision. And that's what we really teach in this process, understanding the power of body language and the tonality that we use, and how all of that affects the mood or an environment that allows you to create a comfortable environment for people to make a buying decision. Again, whether it's yes or no, that's dependent upon what your product or service is and the individuals involved. But we teach these concepts through this book called Intentional Influence. And that then was kind of my first two books on marketing and sales, which has now led into what I'm mostly passionate about, what I'm really, really excited about is the Kingdom Entrepreneur series. And we did just launch book one, The Kingdom Entrepreneur, the 7-day blueprint, which is really how to create anything. I believe God, the creator of the universe, the ultimate creator, has created us to create. And unfortunately, I think society and just what's taught in culture kind of muzzles that or puts a lid on that or prevents us and teaches us not to be creative. An interesting fact, in 1913, Sandy, 97% of Americans were entrepreneurs in 1913. They worked for themselves, self-employed in some fashion, and now it's completely reverse. Only 3% are actually entrepreneurs. 97% of us are employees. And, you know, nothing wrong with being an employee, but it's the mindset that is behind that thought process that we really try to break down and open up ideas in this book, this first book here of the Kingdom Entrepreneur series, to really help people become creative again, to pull those ideas and thoughts out of us and call it again, give permission to be able to walk in those confidently on how to create, whether it's a business or maybe it's your own book or maybe you want to, you know, build a nonprofit or a hobby, whatever it is, there's a template behind being creative, following the God-given blueprint that he's given us.
Yeah, so true. And I think that a lot of that is just security, right? People need that security.
Yes. Mindset?
Well, yeah, we're going back to mindset, yes. But why most people are an employee and not an entrepreneur? Because it's that rich dad, poor dad, right?
Yeah, which is so interesting because when I think that, and this is just maybe I think part of the root of these mindsets that we have, when I think of somebody else putting a value, I worked a job, an 8-hour job for 8 hours when I was 15. Minimum wage in South Dakota was $5.15 an hour. This is back in the olden days, right? Like 2001. I worked that 8-hour shift and I quit afterwards. I did the math in my head and I didn't quit out of a process or a heart of like arrogance. It was more of like, I felt that my time was worth more than that. Mm-hmm. Again, not arrogantly, but what really got me, Sandy, was that I allowed somebody else to put that value on me. Meaning that person valued my time as $5.15 an hour. And I thought, I can provide more value to the marketplace than that. And that was my last day. And back to that security, I thought my mindset on that is if somebody else is in control of my earning ability, I feel like that is the least secure position is impossible, right? Like if I'm working an hourly wage and I'm salary and I'm literally one email, one phone call, one meeting away from them cutting me, that's not secure at all. But it comes back to our mindset thinking, well, my worth and my value and my secure is in somebody else versus your mindset is no, you are your business. You should be the CEO of your life, number one. And with that, the value that you bring to the marketplace can ultimately be, you know, you can now receive funds and money for that. But it starts in your mind first, right? If you build it, they do not come, right? You've got to start with the end in mind, knowing of what you're building and what you're building for or towards. Then ultimately, you can start to receive money or monetarily receive rewards for the value that you're actually bringing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So what would you tell someone that is saying, yeah, you know, I want to be more creative. I want to start this. You know, how would you like recommend they do that if they've, you know, got to support their family, like things like that? Like, I'm just curious. I want people to hear this because I'm thinking of people's objections and I want you to just address those in advance, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first thing I want to encourage anybody, if you're feeling that way, if you're like, man, I just know that I'm called to something more. Congratulations. Like, I feel like I just got goosebumps literally just thinking, because that just gets me so excited for the young entrepreneur, not age dependent at all. You can be an eight. I've worked with gentlemen in their 80s starting their own business, their very first business. Okay. And then I've worked with my daughter's 10. We're starting her business. Like, the age is irrelevant. Now, you may be young when it comes to entrepreneurship, and that's so, so stinking exciting. I remember these days early on of just you don't know what you don't know, which is very exciting, but very overwhelming as well. And I just want to encourage you listening to this. If that's you, you're in a phenomenal position. So just buckle up and get ready for this thrill of a life, because that's really what entrepreneurship is. If you actually look at the root word of entrepreneurship, Sandy, it means to undertake. Most people think if an entrepreneur is like a business owner or a CEO executive. No. The root word, the French word entreprendre, I don't speak French.
That was pretty good though.
But the root word of that, the root word means to undertake.
Okay.
That's it. And so even if you're an employee right now, you're getting paid an hourly wage, a salary of some sort, you can still have an entrepreneur mindset, an undertaker mindset. Like, am I willing to undertake? You can be a stay-at-home dad, mom. The money is irrelevant. It's, are you willing to undertake the task at hand? And if that's your heart, then we've got something to work with. So what I would encourage people then to do is go through, I mean, if it's all right with you, I'll make the book available for free to your listeners to go through this book and day one is vision, right? And we spend a decent amount of time of just understanding like what do you want to do, right? And let's understand the reasoning behind it. And the cool thing is that your vision, first off, it's going to be very cloudy, right? But action brings clarity in everything that you do. Even if it's the wrong action, at least you found out quicker than not taking action at all. And then from there, I think the number one component to entrepreneurship when it comes to even mindset is getting around like-minded people, not like-minded, because it doesn't do us, any of us, any good if we're only around people that are yes men or women that only think like we think. No, I want to be the dumbest one in each room that I enter in. Like, that's my goal. And I know that there are times in my life where I will be the smartest one, but that's also the point when I'm going to now level up and choose to get into another room. And from the age of 15, this is what I did. I had to figure out, okay, if, again, where's the fruit that's out there that I wanted? I wanted the big house. I was just trying to find people with big houses, and I wanted to go be around them and figure out how they did it. And sometimes I paid money to be in those rooms. Sometimes I had a seat at the table. Sometimes I had to serve water at the table, but I just got myself in that environment so I could start to glean and learn from them. Because in order to, if we have an understanding of I've mentioned fruit, what I'm referencing when I say that is like, what are you producing? What's the fruit that you have in someone's life? And if you think about a tree, let's take an apple tree, for example. An apple tree does not grind. It doesn't hustle. It doesn't do anything more than any other tree. But the number one determinant of the type of fruit that tree is going to bear, or how fruitful it's going to be, is where it's planted. And we all have seeds of greatness inside of us, Sandy. Every single one of us, every listener, no matter what their mindset is, their thought process is right now, they have that seed of greatness inside of them because greatness created them, right? I believe we're all created by a creator, and he placed that seed inside of us. But the ultimate determinant of if that seed will ever take root is what we surround that seed with, right? Is it, what's the soil like? What type of things are you listening to podcasts like this one? Are you reading books? Are you getting around people that are pouring into you, not discouraging and telling you can't do it, or that's a dumb idea, or but they're actually uplifting? That the like mindset that I was referring to is that my mindset is that I am continually growing until the day that I die. Because we are either progressing or we are regressing. I don't believe that there's any sort of like staying stagnant. Like there's not even like plateaus. You're still either, there may be a moment in your life where it's like, okay, doesn't seem like things are going, but are you actively waiting, right? Are you ready? Are you prepared to take a step when called upon? And if we know, and that's our mindset, and we can surround ourselves with people like that, you have nothing, you have zero chance of failing, right? And I'm saying this because naturally, but it comes to the mindset. I'm a firm believer that there's no such thing as failure. There's only feedback.
Yeah.
So if I know that even if I make a bad decision, the wrong decision, I just flat out mess up, great. I learned what not to do.
Right.
And I'm going to now take, my mindset is like, cool, check that one. I'm not going to do that again. And now what can I do? And if I'm surrounded by cheerleaders and people that will help me pick me back up, there's zero chance that I'm going to continually fail. At some point, I will make it. But the point is that if you're not planted in that type of circle, it's going to be a very difficult road ahead, right? And I will tell you, from an entrepreneurship standpoint, if you want to go fast, sometimes it's easier to go alone. But I don't think many of us are looking for that quick high in a very quick low. And believe me, I've done that many times in my life. I realized that if I wanted to make true impact and a lasting difference, the only way that I could do that is I wanted to go far, and the only way to do that was to go together. And that was surrounding myself with people like in the King's Council, people like you, Sandy, that are here to be our support system, and knowing that, yeah, sometimes I'll be your support system and vice versa, but we are here with this mindset that we are going to continually grow, provide incredible value to the marketplace, and then ultimately we're going to get paid well to do so, yeah, as we should.
Yeah. Well, what's that saying about, you know, change, right? Right? You know, things, everything is constantly changing. And
the only constant is
change. The only constant is change. Thank you. I was going to Google it real quick and I was like, oh, you can probably just tell me. But that's just, I mean, that's what we're here for. We're here to always be growing. And oh my gosh. So you mentioned that the listeners could get a free copy of that. And how can they do that?
Yeah, if they just went to, how about this? I'll do, if they text the word 7, S-E-V-E-N, or even the number 7, we'll set it up that way.
Okay.
If they text that to 727-472-3860,
okay,
I will We'll create an autoresponder. It's already set up, actually, I believe, that will come back to them, and it'll be a PDF download. If they want a physical copy, they'll have to buy that. That's on Amazon. But otherwise, it'll be a download that you can read right on your phone or on your, you can print off if you wanted to, but that'll give them full access to the 7-day blueprint.
Fantastic. And I noticed on your website, just for the listeners out there, if you're driving and you don't have a pen, go to Riley Meek, RyleeMeek.com. And you have that same text number there.
Oh, yes. On your website. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I think we could probably talk for hours, but I usually try to keep these conversations to under 30 minutes. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience before we wrap it up today?
You know, I made a comment, said action brings clarity, mm-hmm. and I wholeheartedly believe that. And with that, know that not every action, you're not going to win every time, right? That's just, but I think Michael Jordan said this best, that he's never lost a game in his life. He's just ran out of time, right? Because his mindset was like, because he's going to outlast, he's going to outplay them.
Sure.
And so while action brings clarity, reaction reveals character. And so what happens when you take action and then you find yourself in a, you know, maybe you went into debt, you made a bad business decision, or you spent money where you shouldn't have, your reaction to that is the true revealer of who you are. Right. And this is, again, back to that community, making sure that you're surrounding yourself with those like-minded people to help you in those situations. Seeking counsel from those that have gone before you was, I mean, the biggest, probably one of the biggest things that I did early on was just I wanted to be around people that had gone before me. I wasn't looking to reinvent the wheel on anything.
That's right.
Right. If there's a system and a process in play, I just want to get in, be a cog on that wheel, and let's get into this thing. And that was a big determinant of some of my early success that it allowed me or afforded me the ability to do what we do now. And so action brings clarity, but your reaction reveals your true character.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. Well, this was just amazing. For the listeners out there, definitely go to his website, pick up his books, text that number, which I'll put in the show notes to get your free copy of the 7-Day Blueprint. Is that the correct title?
That's correct. Awesome. Yes.
All right, Riley, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you so much for what you're doing and just spreading your message with the world. And
thanks,
we need
Andy.
So many more people like you. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
I certainly hope that you enjoyed today's interview. Thank you so much for joining me. And as always, I hope that you and your family are healthy and safe, and that your lives are filled with peace, joy, and happiness. Take care, everyone.